You won't find elaborate sets or costumes or super titles at the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company's adaptation of King Lear. The new production at the Mill Space in Newmarket is unfussy, a little gritty, and not what you think of as theater. Apparent the moment that you walk into the bright room where music is thumping and the actors are warming up, right there, in front of you. Even the play's title is stripped down to just Lear. And Seven Stages looks at the tragedy of a once proud king diminished by age and his penchant for flattery through the lens of Alzheimer's disease. Dan Bollier is co-founder and artistic director of Seven Stages Shakespeare Company and directed Lear. And Dan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here.
It was such an impressive piece of work and an ensemble work, but very much your vision. So tell me about this idea of through the lens of Alzheimer's. Where did that come from?
We're looking at the play, and I really wanted to make sure that the first thing I wanted to do was humanize every character and make them relatable. And in thinking about tragedy and thinking about things that we talk about culturally in our community or things that we struggle to talk about, I was thinking a lot about Alzheimer's disease as it's something that I don't know a tremendous amount about, but I know very close friends who are dealing with parents or grandparents, and these are people who I'm building my life around, and suddenly realized, had that moment of recognition of, oh, wow, I do need to brace myself and come to know more about what this disease looks like, feels like, and how terrifying that can be.
After the production, after the play, I spoke to Deb Kinghorn, who plays Lear, who's a woman. She's a professor of theater, dance, acting, and voice at UNH. And I told her that my mom has Alzheimer's, and she said, so does mine. And I looked in the program, and there are a number of people dedicating their performance in some way to a parent who's probably has Alzheimer's or some form of dementia.
Absolutely. We did in our second rehearsal, we did a six-hour table rehearsal, which is pretty traditional for Shakespeare, a Shakespearean production where you go through line by line, word by word, and break down what everything means. And about 45 minutes into that, I said, okay, we need to take a pause here and address something, the elephant in the room. And I'm curious how Alzheimer's disease has affected everyone in this particular ensemble. And we went one by one around and talked. And the range from I've had no interaction with it to my mom has passed away from Alzheimer's was tremendous. And just to see the big takeaway there was we are not alone in the ensemble, that we all have some sort of interaction. And it's a fairly isolating disease from what people are talking about, from what I can understand. So we wanted to really bring that idea of isolation and contrast that with the idea of ensemble and the idea of what can happen when you have 14 or 15 souls doing one thing and fragmentation and identity pieces, if that makes sense. Where does that conversation live for us as humans, which is, to me, much more immediate than a conversation about a king or a conversation about dukes and earls and war. It's more about familial strife and tragedy in that way.
Right, in the way that various different people take it, you know,
yes.
The strain on them. You know, some see it as opportunity, others see it as, you know, deep, deep grief.
Yeah, and what we're capable of in those moments. You know, when you get to the breaking point of frustration and you just want to rip somebody's eyeballs out. And in this play, they do that.
I wonder if you should review just a little bit of King Lear for, you know, someone who maybe read it in high school or college and doesn't remember it.
Sure. It starts with the king bringing his three daughters into the room and saying, which of you loves me the most? And the eldest daughter says, well, I love you the most, of course. So she gets a portion of the kingdom. The second daughter says, yeah, I agree with what she said, only I love you more than that. And then the third daughter, the youngest, can't respond and says nothing. The word nothing, which was central for us.
Nothing was a big thing in this play.
It was a very big thing. And it's something that we talked long and hard about was how do you do nothing effectively as opposed to not doing anything? The subtle difference between those ideas. So we really tried to work hard on that. So anytime the word nothing appears 34 times in the play.
Wow.
So every time that it came up, we tried to highlight it in a way or really let the actor lean into that word, so that it started to create this sort of hollow reverb for an audience member. And like, there's that word again. That keeps coming up. which ultimately helped lead to go back to the original question, the idea about Alzheimer's disease and the idea of stripping the mind away. And what are we actually left with when we contemplate the sort of vast idea of nothing?
Well, also, there's a soundscape. It's really interesting because there's somebody controlling the sound, recorded sound, as far as I could tell. But all of the different actors come up at different times and play these instruments. There's a harmonium. There's an electronic piano. Yeah. But I just want to play, because you mentioned the nothing, there's just this little bit of droning. So that's just a little bit of the soundscape, for lack of a better word, from Lear, a new production at the Mill Space in Newmarket. It's produced by Seven Stages Shakespeare Company. And Dan Bollier directed the play. He's with us now. There's no set. Everybody's moving across this space. But the sound, it's almost like a cast member.
Exactly right. We tried to think about not only the sound as a cast member, but the architecture of the space that we were in, which is tremendously linear and tremendously hollow. There are some curtains that were living upstage we extracted for this performance so that we could really create an echo chamber, and trying to think about the idea of hollowness in the sound and how maddening that can be. King Lear goes mad. How do you play madness? So rather than look at madness, we were trying to figure out ways that we could create the feeling of madness. And one of the first things we thought of was sound. We are the first theatrical production in the Mill Space, which is a really tremendous and at times daunting idea. And the first day I went in there, I just sort of sat for about 25 minutes and listened to things that are occurring naturally in the space. It's very hollow. It's very reverby. That was the first impulse of take what you're given, play the hand that's dealt to you. The pipes in the ceiling, every once in a while, there'd be a flushing sound.
Yes. I was wondering if someone were flushing a toilet upstairs.
Possibly. We can't quite figure out how to game that perfectly so that we can control when it happens. But it's happened pretty wonderfully at really interesting moments. There's a storm in Lear, and all of a sudden you have this pipe flushing with water. In the first meeting, Angel was like, I'm so sorry about that. And I was like, no, I want to get a microphone up there and really take everything that you're given and just lean into it.
Well, obviously, you have to have a lot of experience in the world of theater to understand that. I mean, you have to have seen this pulled off, right? You know, this kind of experimentation. You have to have enough of a grounding to be a classical painter in order to be an abstract painter. You know, that kind of idea.
Right.
So where did you get that?
I was very fortunate to have studied for a semester in London, where I was exposed. I was there with Professor David Richman, who teaches currently at UNH. He was the professor that was there for the semester. And also currently living down the street from BAM in Brooklyn, I'm fortunate enough to see a lot of European productions come through there. And their sense of storytelling is not always as strictly tied to observation of the legacy of Shakespeare. And thinking about our approach, I like to define it as passionate irreverence, which is like, I love it enough to play with it. I love it so much that I'm not afraid to sort of take it apart and play with it, which is very much what Shakespeare was doing in his time.
You obviously have to have the ability for the cast to go along with you. I mean, you have to share this in some way.
Yeah, the ensemble for this production in particular has been fearless in their exploration. And they were not without moments of, is this going to work? Is this what we're trying to do? But the response has been very strong, very positive. I think so. It is having an emotional effect on people, which is just what we're after.
Well, it certainly was in the production that I was at. I know in reading about your approach to this, there is a hope of driving a dialogue about memory and legacy on a personal level, on a communal level, global level. You know, those are pretty big ambitions, and I'm wondering what's happening. What are you witnessing?
We are hearing a lot of people who I have known, who I didn't know had experience with Alzheimer's, who come up to me after the show and said, I need to tell you about this. I didn't know how to talk about it, but this has helped me sort of see what it might feel like. I think in talking about memory, one of the choices that has elicited a strong reaction is the choice to have actors with scripts. Some actors are...
Right, I noticed that. Some of them are, they have scripts in front of them, they're holding on to them. And I just wondered if, you know, that's what happens when you're doing an ensemble with not a, a lot of resources, time to memorize it.
It was, no, not normally. We could have, this ensemble could have memorized. I mean, we made the choice day one that this was something we wanted to talk about. One of the wonderful challenges of doing Shakespeare so often is the first question you get after every show is, how did you memorize all those lines? And it's like, well, there's more to it. There's more. There are deeper questions we want to talk about. So making that choice that the scripts are present, and sometimes they're being used, and sometimes they're not being used deliberately, or they're being taken away from the actors. Again, it gets back to the storytelling. And it is a wink at original practice. You know, scripts were not something, this idea of memorizing and full rehearsal processes with elaborate sets and costumes was not something that Shakespeare was doing or his company was doing. They were focused on the story and on each other.
I can't help but think of the many times in the past couple of years when I've been talking to somebody about, you know, their parents, and they're saying, yeah, I had to take away his car keys or her car keys. And there are moments in this play where you see this once mighty king diminished, and it's so heartbreaking on so many levels.
We were talking, there's one of the textual elements is this loss of knights.
Right, Lear has 100 knights.
Right, and then it's 50, and then 25, and it leads to that great moment of a reason, not the need. You know, what do we need? In this production becomes the loss of privilege and taking it away, and Regan and Goneril coming from a place of concern for their father, but it's not being perceived that way. It's being perceived as, you know, an attack. And how that idea of perception and gets back to the humanization of the characters and trying to really come from a place of concern and care. But what does that, how is that perceived? How what effect does that have on someone else? And how do you have that conversation? We say, you know, Dad, Mom, you can't drive. And, oh, I can. But it's like, no, I'm doing this for you, but it doesn't come across that way. And then how does that manifest for everyone involved?
Right, you're taking away the kingdom of their independence.
Right.
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 Well, Dan, so great to speak with you, and best of luck this weekend.
Thank you so much.
Oh, can I still? No, shouldn't I say break a leg or something?
Oh, break a leg is good. Yeah, that sounds
isn't
great.
Isn't there? That's the traditional thing, though.
That
you
is.
You must have some other kind of way of saying it in your non-traditional manner.
We just usually say, here we go. here we go.
All right. Here you go, Dan.
Thanks.
Dan Beaulieu, he's co-founder and artistic director of Seven Stages Shakespeare Company and directed Lear. That production is at the Mill Space in Newmarket Thursday through Saturday. You can find details on the production at wordofmouthradio.org.